Our producer has just walked in, Jared, who's now self-nicknamed himself the Jazz Factor.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Pardon? He's added a new dimension to the show, he reckons. Morning, Jazz.
What does Jazz morning, Factor team. Mean?
The Jazz Factor.
The Factor. It just brings the jazz to the team and livens it up.
Righto.
Is that like the lightning rod?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Tom out there, the Basso Effect named himself, so I just want to get in on the action.
We asked you, you know, how did you get in this job? And you said, oh, people were coming at me from every station. You know, they all wanted a slice of the Jazz Factor.
That's right.
It was a bidding war.
So we were the fortunate ones.
Yeah, fortunate, not so fortunate.
You
won't think you're fortunate after this because... Basically, you guys did a story yesterday, Matt Doran. I think a lot of our listeners might have heard about it. The bloke who didn't do his research about Adele.
Mm.
Well,
flew all the way. Hang on, he flew all the way to London. Yeah. $1 million interview.
You know, and you got to be researched. When we work in media, we need to be on top of every single story we do.
Mm-hmm. He got there and he said to Adele, "I haven't even listened to your album."
And she vetoed the interview and said, "Get stuff."
Seven
get
can't
geezer.
Use. Yeah.
Yeah. $1 million down the drain. Mm. Well, we just found it funny because you went pretty harsh on him and the irony behind the scenes. Hato, just play this for me, please.
What about Mark Doran, though? He doesn't like Adele as much as I do.
First things first, his name is Matt Doran.
No.
He flew all the way to London to interview her. This is Channel 7's Mark Doran.
Again, it's Matt. Glad to see you've done your research about a guy who hasn't done his research.
$1 million Channel 7 paid for it. She says, "Have you heard my album?" He goes, "No." Nah. Lie, you idiot. Just say, "Yes, of course I have. It was great. I loved it."
$1 million interview.
Didn't bother to do his research and actually listen to the album. He's just been flown to London to interview her about it, and he hasn't listened to one
suspended.
Word of the album.
If you're listening, Mark, here's how the professionals do it. Hugh Ruinditz talking to Ian Moss from Chisel about their album coming up.
Mossy, are we right in saying there might be a couple of live songs on this one as well?
Oh, geez.
I think Shipping Still might be live, mate.
Shipping Still, okay.
Well, is it?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. What's that about? That's not about Whaler, is it, or not? No.
Whaling?
Whaler. Where's Whaling, the Shipping Still? What is that about? Is that a...
It was actually down on the Illawarra.
Oh, okay.
Illawarra. Let's check back in with the guys sinking the boots into Mark.
She then vetoed the interview and said you can't use the footage.
Yeah.
So she's actually put the kibosh on it and said, "Bugger you."
It's disrespectful, isn't it?
It was disrespectful. Not dissimilar to the time we interviewed Sophie Monk. Yeah. And she had asked us not to mention her ex-boyfriends. Take it away, research prosciutto.
Righto, I did a bit of research on you last night too, Sophie. And
is the first time
went
ever.
Went through a couple of your ex-boyfriends online and found Jason Statham. Now, he's one of my favourite actors. Is he as good a boyfriend as he is an actor?
He's a nice person.
Yeah. We're not trying to get a headline here at all, are we?
Yeah, these questions.
Anyway, back to the public shaming of Mark Doran.
How long did the album come out before the interview?
A couple of weeks. Yeah, it's only been out a week or two.
Plenty of time, though.
Yeah.
Wrong. It was released on November 19th.
It's just incredible. And he's now making excuses. He's saying, they emailed the album to me, but I didn't see the email.
That's bull twang.
Come on, mate. I'm amazed he's kept his job, actually. Like, they've flown him all the way there, paid $1 million for the interview, and he stuffed it up. Unbelievable.
They should have sent you Ditz.
Ditz is fastidious with his research, whether you're a megastar or just a local band playing at the Crown and Anchor pub on the weekend.
A mate of mine, I worked with him for years at Channel 7, is doing a special night this Saturday night. Jake Fleming, his band is Audio Rain. He joined us. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, very good. What's happening Saturday night, Jake?
It's actually Sunday afternoon. Oh.
So all I can say is do your research.
Hang on. But we weren't paid $1 million.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Far from it.
Oh, God. I need to renegotiate my contract. Yeah.
Jeez, not like Mark Doreeny.
Yeah. Oh, God. You are setting yourself up.
That was all Sammy. He sent me in.
That's a blast. Nah. Oh, look, the producer's...
Now that Jazz Mack is handballing.
Please welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Roo Ditz and Loz, Amos Gill.
All the way from LA, I think. Last time we spoke, he was in Springfield. How did you get on in Springfield, Gilly?
Honestly, it was the greatest trip of my life in America. It was real America. You know what I mean? It was like everything advertised. People walking around in camo, fishing shops. You know, everyone cooks for the football on Sunday. You tailgate. They boil their ribs for about 2 days. They're terrific people. Rednecks, but I loved them.
Yep.
Really? I feared for your life, Gilly.
Oh, well, I pretended I was a Trump supporter, so I got away fine. Don't worry about that.
Oh, no.
Great time. And then I came home, and I'm very trepidatious about doing this interview because I tried to do Loz a favour and I've screwed her over.
Tell us. Set this
up, Loz. If you know me at all, you know that I have a deep and unsettling love for Jennifer Aniston. She released a hair care range, which wasn't available in Australia. So the one person in America I know...
You've been influenced.
Is I have. I know Amos, so I said, can I send it to your house and then you ship it to me? And he goes, yeah, I'm just a big-time superstar now, so these are the only dates. I'm at home, yada, yada, yada. I organise it so it arrives when he's meant to be at home in the small window.
Yep.
And then I get this message from him this morning, very alarming message. What did it say, Mossy?
The message said, have you sent it yet? It hasn't arrived. And Loz said, it has arrived. So I went into my housemate and go, oh, I did some shampoo roll up here. And he goes, yeah, I gave it to my missus.
Okay.
Beauty.
What kind of sicko?
Who's this Laura O'Callaghan?
No.
I've never heard of her.
What kind of sicko uses someone else's Jennifer Aniston juice, okay? It cost me $130 to get it sent to you. I was going to pay shipping.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, Amos. Shame on you and the what kind of peasants you live with.
How's his hair looking?
Oh, he's slick, mate. He's bloody slick.
Well, that's amazing. Looks like Jennifer Aniston.
Hey, I want to talk about some stuff that I've seen in Australia this week. Number one, is this true that the AFL has banned skin folds?
No, it's for the testing for the draft camp. Yeah, it's getting a bit soft, isn't it?
Fat shaming.
They said it's fat shaming. I am so happy that skin folds have been banned because, let's be honest, we miss the days of the fat full forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Skin folds have ruined football. I'm sick of skinny blokes. There's nothing better, we can all attest, to country footy where there's a guy called Kegger
who
marked the ball at the 20-metre line and his follow-through run takes him through to about 70 metres because he's got so much momentum.
Yeah. We need kicked 1,000 goals in the B-grade.
Pluggett was the greatest footballer we ever saw. So I say bring more fat blokes to the AFL. As long as they can do it, they don't need to be thin.
That's a good point.
No.
That's a good point.
Let them in.
Next thing I want to talk about is this plastic that's been found at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Do you guys know what the Mariana Trench is?
No, I don't.
It's like the deepest part of the ocean.
It is 11 kilometres deep down. And they said they found something. According to news.com.au, they said we found something horrific at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. It was not a picture of Tim Payne's dick. It was a helium balloon from the movie Frozen.
What?
Has made it 11 kilometres to the bottom of the planet Earth.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, that's where it is. If you look at it, it's just Elsa and Olaf deflated, wrapped around a bucket, 11 k's down.
The greenies will be happy with that.
Well, you got to think that's like a very pissed off set of parents who are sick of hearing that Let It Go song and have decided to make it vanish in the deepest part ever. But you can't argue with their marketing team. You know what I mean?
No.
Like this, because if you drain the River Torrens, you'll find a whole lot of my fringe flies that they like.
That would be something you'd want to look at the bottom of the Torrens.
There'll be dicks drawn on them.
To my shows out there. octopuses, and sticking to that theme, obviously you guys would be talking about this new study about the octopuses, squid, and lobsters being recognised as sentient beings.
They can feel pain.
Yes, we did talk about that the other day. Yep.
Yeah, so now, you know, you're having a spaghetti alla sentiale, which means that, yes, they can feel, they have rights, you can't boil them alive. No. And it's like, I don't think you need to be a Buddhist vegan to know that boiling anything alive probably isn't the sweetest thing.
It's not the best way to go out, Gilly.
No. I've been thinking about this more and more. Now that we know that squid is sentient and intelligent, it turns out that the calamari that's being served in Port Adelaide pubs is smarter than the person eating.
Oh, no. Don't go down there, Gilly. Do not go down there. All right, Gilly. Behave yourself.
Right. Have a great day.
Keep kicking goals, mate. Top five of the week, but apparently it's a bit about me.
Your last day today for the year, so you're going out with a bang, Roo.
All right, let's see how we go.
The top five things we learnt about Roo this year. Number five. We learnt there won't be any more Rusciutto kids. Because Roo got the snip.
Today you go in for the snip.
Yeah.
So we had to chat to the doctor.
The man on the tools today, so to speak.
And learnt what a VIP is.
Dr. Richard Wells, good morning. Now, you know this is a very, very, very important penis and testicles.
This is a VIP one. Very important set. Absolutely.
Very important penis.
VIP. He did give me a very interesting text last night. Said, Doc, do I have to shave my balls totally or just a bit shortish? Who's gonna shave me?
Yep, who's going to shave him? Roo got his lovely wife Sarah to help him mow the bottom paddock.
Jabs crackers out here, and we're going to go over the scissors first. Let's do a bit of a
get
through the forest. Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh, yeah.
This is good.
Careful.
Oh, sorry. What's that there?
It's a ball bag.
Yep, he got the snip, but was a bit nervous about the post-operation test drive.
I gave him a run Saturday night when I was...
You fired a shot.
Just to check him out. Jeez, I was nervous. And then when it all went smooth, I tell you what, my heart rate dropped.
Hell, have a beer. Have a cigarette.
It still works.
Number four, speaking of bodily functions, we learnt it's been a smelly year for Roo.
I had goat for tea and goat in my guts,
don't work.
I was a farting machine.
Oh, no. Nice.
Last night, so the wife was not coming anywhere near me. But
she's just wafting the sheets as we speak, just airing them out.
I was the greatest of all time last night, farter, after eating goat. Good morning, Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sarah's on the line.
Just had to ring in because it's pretty funny. My worst smell would have to be getting into bed some night and my husband has a little present ready for me.
Oh,
when I pull the sheets back.
Oh, Sarah. Oh.
And he is disgusting. Oh. It's like he waits until I get in there.
Number three.
Not only did Roo drop his guts this year, he also dropped a few F-bombs and on air, might I add.
Listen closely to this F-bomb when he was commentating a Crows loss.
Great stuff. Intercept the handball and kicked it inside attacking 50. But it's a wayward kick and Scott picks it off for the dog.
How many of these forwards are going to play from behind?
You know, when you support a Roo as well, you got to make sure you don't swear into the mic.
Sideways.
Well, how about this F-bomb when he was talking about magpie season?
With a mask on, as you know, hard to tell who people are, so they won't take any risks. They'll get their testes and they'll go,
dump that. Roo's just dumped himself. Gee, calm down, Roo.
Maggie season brings the best out.
It does. That was aggressive.
That's all right.
Wow.
Let's have a break.
Yep, time for a break.
Let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Get 15% off the perfect Christmas gifts at Spartans Big Small... Is that right?
Yeah.
Big Small Appliance Sale. I should have read that beforehand.
.sa.gov.au. A message from the Government of South Australia.
A live read. Oh, okay.
Well, just bear with me. This is my department. Hang on. Here you go, Roo. I'm just getting it up. There you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is good. In June, tickets on sale now at tickettech.com. .com.
What about a promo for your own show, Roo?
If you want to hear more, go to...
If you want to hear any of that...
If you want to hear any of that, just go and listen to the...
And the number one thing we learn about Roo this year is when he became a godfather.
Super honoured to be asked to be a godfather of a mate's son. So that was what it was about. But the funny part of it is, a week and a half ago, I had a big day on the booze. The mother of the lad that I was godfather for rang me up to ask me if I'd be the godfather.
So she called you when you were in your sesh, your red
wine
sesh.
She called me when I was about 6 hours in, and I think I was just clicking into top gear.
Yeah, okay.
All right. When she rang me to ask me if I'd be the sponsor for her son, which is the term used, which I'd never heard of.
I know what it means,
how much is that going to cost?
You think the kid was going to wear Alma across his shirt or something?
The top five things we learnt about Roo this year.
Oh, great year, Roo. Well done.
Nothing about punting there. That's a surprise, but all the other parts of my life.
The ball shaving for me, that was...
Oh, that was real
tickler. I wasn't here for that. That was... Sarah deserves some sort of Purple Heart medal for that.
Well, you stick around, there'll be more of that gold next year. Don't worry.
Now, what we're talking about is, who would you love to have a beer with? Who have you had a beer with?
Well, I thought this was who would you love to have a beer with, in which case I would say Bob Hawke, right? Because I would just, he's the sculling king, isn't he?
Well, he'd clean you up in his 80s.
I just want to watch him do it and then have a little chat. But if we're talking who have we had a beer with, I've had a beer with you two. That's pretty cool.
That's thrilling.
That's exciting. Come on. All right,
Roo, what about you?
Two very different people I've had a beer with, which are... interesting for different reasons. So, you know, I wanted to be black when I was a kid. I love the West Indies.
Yep.
Wanted to play for the West Indies. So my favourite player was Viv Richards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got to have a beer with Viv.
You're joking.
At the top of the Alma one day.
When, really?
He was paid a significant amount of money to come to a function at the top of the Alma in a test series. And, you know, you just get starstruck. I didn't even ask for a photo. I wish I had a photo with Viv, but I was too respectful to even ask for it.
Yep.
So I had a beer with Viv. And then if you can flip 180 degrees to a different end of the spectrum, I have had a beer with Chopper Reid.
Have you?
At the Alma again. We had Chopper come and do a night at, you call it a sporties night, but it's not a sporties night, obviously. And I had a beer with Uncle Chop Chop.
Wow.
Did you get a photo with him?
I didn't, but I got a couple of bits of photos of Chopper when he was younger and fitter and got them signed to my kids. And he said, to Nick and Joe, never plead guilty.
Oh, isn't that's amazing. Good?
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't
that stunning?
Gorgeous.
What about you, Dick?
Freddie Mercury's probably.
Freddie. You've probably had a beer with Freddie.
All night. Not just a beer. We were out.
All night.
All night. Hey.
When was this?
What is all night,
years
mate?
Ago. Hey. But locally, see, I love the Aussie cricket team. I got to have a beer with Tomo. Jeff Thompson.
Tomo.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was pretty good. At Memorial Drive, we had a tennis day. Sat at the bar with Tomo. So, I was pretty wrapped in that.
Yeah, Tomo was good.
I think someone asked Freddie Mercury what his hobbies were, and he said, sex, darling. So
it wasn't me that asked him. I know.
But did he live up to his name? Was he a wild man?
Didn't consent.
Hey, Doss, who have you had a beer with?
I've had a beer with Liam Gallagher.
Have you?
Yeah, that was when over in the UK. And but I'll tell you what, the best beer I've had with somebody was Dave Gleason from the Screaming Stars.
Oh,
Gleason.
I've had a beer with Gleason.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He is good company for a beer.
Righto, 133353.
Yeah, let's take some calls. Let's head to Golden Grove. Mark, who have you had a beer with?
It's Abba and yourself, Roo.
Oh.
Really?
Where the trifecta? Was that?
Roo didn't buy me a beer. I had to buy him one at the Alma.
They go broke.
I followed the Every Pub book that Ditz and Abba published.
Right.
Yes.
And I've had a beer in every pub in South Australia.
You're kidding. Well done. That's a great effort.
And caught up with Ditz and Abba at the Alberton Hotel, the last pub to sign off in that book.
Yes, well, you did too, mate. Why no, Mark? Yeah, well done, Mark. That's brilliant stuff, yeah.
Recently divorced, obviously.
I'm looking
drink
at
every
pub.
Yeah.
I'm and not getting paid for it. At least Ditz had an excuse.
I love to have a beer with Duncan.
Yeah, we're celebrating the launch of our Big Shed Triple M beer. Who have you had a beer with?
I haven't had a beer with anyone super famous except you and Roo.
Right.
And that was the tasting the Triple M beer, which is delicious. So highlight of that was just the Triple M beer. Rob from Christie's Beach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Who'd you have a beer with?
I had a beer with Dawn Fraser, actually, up on the Gold Coast back in 95.
Gee, fantastic. Now, of course, our most famous swimmer. She won gold at 3 Olympics in a row, which just doesn't happen. What was she like, Rob?
She was very friendly, really nice lady, actually, and she was pretty good on the pint, too.
Yeah, she's well known. Now, she had her own pub in Balmain. She was famous for pulling beers and having pints with all the locals. So, she loves her beer, our Dawn.
Aww.
Good on you, Rob. That's a good one. Jason at Morford Vale, who have you had a beer with?
Oh, mate, I was in the right lift at the right time. It opened up and Carlos Santana was standing.
Wow, where was that?
Yeah, it was in Vegas and he was, instead of singing the national anthem at the drag strip, they actually got him out to play the guitar.
Amazing.
He just heard my accent and just said, you know, where are you from? Told him he was from Adelaide and he asked me to have lunch with him and his huge bodyguard and told me all about Adelaide and the Torrens and how much he loved the place.
Fantastic.
That's wild. Gosh. I love that so much.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Right lift at the right time.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Jeez.
We've got Andrew from West Beach.
Yeah, g'day guys. How you going?
Yeah, really good. Who'd you have a beer with?
Well, I got lucky. This is going back probably 2006 and 8. was living at my brother's at Prospect, and then we mosey on down to O'Connell Street on a Tuesday night, walked into the Oxford.
Beautiful.
Australia were playing the West Indies, and there's Brian Lara and his bodyguard.
Brian Lara, one of the greatest of all time.
Unreal. Well, I walked in, my brother, I said, shit, that's Brian Lara. And then went over, had all his chains on, and he just sat there all relaxed, just drinking a few Jacks. And
really?
That was it, yeah, just had a couple of drinks. And I loved him anyway, and I said, oh, you'll make 100 at Adelaide Oval, you always do. He brought up all his records. And that was when he made 400 and something runs. And
yeah.
I
went to
West
God.
Indies cross, but he batted for like 3 days.
Brilliant.
So.
Good on you, Andrew. Yeah, some good names there. Unbelievable. Wow. All right, who have you had a beer with? 133353.
Let's head out to Elizabeth Grove. Rodney, who have you had a beer with?
Angry Anderson.
Hey. Oh, that would have been awesome.
It was back, pretty vague on those years, but I think it was in the 80s when ZZ Top was out here.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Did you have more than one beer, surely?
Yeah, I used to have a few.
Yeah. Where did you run into him?
Some nightclub. I think it was off Grenfell Street. It was pretty vague those years.
Yeah, Grenfell
Street. Pretty vague.
Grenfell Street.
Players Bar.
It was the Players Bar before it was Players Bar.
I thought it was just Players Bar. That was well, the,
it
was
wasn't
it?
Open in the 80s.
Crown
maybe
and
My
Crown
Place
and
or something.
Might have been the Cranker.
All right.
All right, let's go to Hope Valley. Rock, who have you had a beer with?
Molly Mildred and Trevor Marmalade.
Whoa.
Gee.
When
that
was
would have been good.
Yeah, 03. After party from the footy show.
Wow.
About 3 o'clock in the morning.
What, after the grand final week or something?
The grand final week of the week.
Yeah.
I went to the footy show.
Mm-hmm. So the one in Melbourne.
Yeah, under our seat was a after party ticket.
Hey.
That's awesome.
So we went there and Trevor Marmalade didn't show up for the North Melbourne breakfast the next morning.
Well,
so you sorted him out there,
it
Rock.
It is a tough week to get through unscathed, I'll put it that way. Let's go to Lobethal. Jason, who have you had a beer with?
G'day, mate. I've had a beer with the late, great Bob Orr.
This is what Loz wants to do.
What was it like?
It was awesome. He was playing 8-ball. It was actually at Rest Point in Hobart at Casino.
Yeah.
And it was just about cool last drinks they were, and we had to run around the casino to find a beer for him, and that's, we lost our game of 8-ball to him, so.
Wow. And did he scull it?
No, he didn't.
He
last drinks,
yeah,
a lot of.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
Oh, well done. A beer with Bob Hawk. Jase, you got
amazing.
That one forever, mate.
Yep. Some great names there. Brilliant. Who you've had a beer with.
I love this phoner. I want to do it all day.
You've got to give it to Bob, don't you?
Oh, yeah, obviously. Bob, it's got to be Bob.
Well, he goes into the running, doesn't he?
He goes into the running.
Well,
I think
aren't we giving away beer tickets here?
Yeah.
Okay, Haydos, you're in charge. What's going on?
Well, beer tickets, yes, because Killer's tickets are up until 9. So, Jase, guess what?
Yeah. See you Thursday night, Jase.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Awesome, mate. We'll see you Thursday night at Big Shed. We had a good day of golf yesterday. Are you playing again today?
No, can't play today. Playing Friday.
Why not today?
Why is that?
Oh, well, because I'm playing Friday, so I can't play every day.
Gee whiz, you're playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, not getting any better.
What about you? I just want to relive Monday morning. This is what you had to say about the weather ahead this week.
Yeah. Hello on this Monday morning. A great week of weather coming up here in Adelaide. I said earlier, we're in for a great week of weather, Roo.
Yeah, I nearly spat my coffee out when you said that.
It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
It rained yesterday. Rain last night.
We need the rain.
Today we're meant to have 3 to 10 mils.
Nice.
Floods up in the northern part of South Australia.
Literally,
they need it.
La Nina has been announced.
Oh, is
like
it?
It's an actual weather event.
Actually been announced today it's going to be, she is a wet summer. That's who she is.
Okay.
There's abnormal amounts
of
rain.
You love the rain?
I do love the rain, but not when you say it's going to be nice, because lots of people listening to you Dits, actually believe you. And as your wife said, they get dressed and, you know, shape their whole day around
That's
your comments
point,
on radio. You've got a responsibility to deliver it accurately.
Honestly, if I say it's going to be 16 degrees, but it ends up 14 degrees, what does it matter?
No, it's a bit different than saying it's a beautiful week, but we're actually having tropical storms.
Well, hang on, it was 25 yesterday.
And you've got a history.
And moist as hell.
You've got a history of this, and I just thought we might relive it for a bit of fun.
Scattered showers today. Mm. I haven't been drinking. Friday morning, 24 in Adelaide today.
Mm,
23 in Adelaide today.
Is it 23?
Apparently, yeah. It's going to be 33 in Perth today. Doesn't their weather normally come this way?
33?
33 in Perth today.
Sure, yeah.
Perth 13 with a high of just 16 today.
Triple M, 30, what is it? 36 degrees today in Adelaide.
30-odd.
Approximate, yeah. 30-something. If I say it's 26 or it's 31, seriously, is that going to change what you wear? No. Have a look at the sky outside. What is going on in Adelaide?
It's raining, Dits.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know Keith Martin. Oh, yeah.
Nah, really. I failed the weather audition at Channel 7. Yeah.
And you got the lotteries one instead.
I got that instead. That's right.
Well, that's a win. Well done. Did you ever we love your weather those? Predictions.
One behind.
You might remember last week, Roo, we talked all about the Burnside Council situation knocking back a skating park.
Which for the second time.
Will affect your kids because they're right into their skateboard.
They're not happy at all.
Hey, on the line now, joining us from the Burnside Council Committee for shutting things down, basically, we've got Sandra Worthington-Smythe-Jones. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Christopher and Mark Ricciuto. Now, let me just correct you there. It's actually Sondra.
Sorry, Sondra. Sondra, sorry.
And you pronounced my name right, the proper Italian way, Sondra.
Oh, Ricciuto, yes. Well, you know, I actually did spend 3 years in Milan, so, you'd love it. Fashion Week is to die for. Mm.
Hey, now, you're here to explain why the proposed skate park in Burnside was actually shut down last week. What's the story?
Quite frankly, I don't want that roof raft around our leafy green streets. Mm. It's very simple. We'll, you know, be pulling in drug addicts, delinquents, gangs of public school children. You know, they're drawn to skate parks like flies to a turd. just wouldn't be safe in my Rolex, and my Jeep would probably get scratched, you know. It's just very simple.
Hey, my family are keen on the skate park, and, you know, they're not roof raft.
Well, I beg to differ, Mr. Ricciuto. I've seen your scalag children terrorising the streets of Burnside on their little scooters and skateboards. Perhaps your family would be more comfortable somewhere else, like, I don't know, Port Augusta.
Oh,
Jesus, Sandra.
Now, look, it's disappointing the skate park's getting shut down. What other things are there for kids to do in Burnside?
Well, there's so many fun little things. You know, we have a hedge fund investment course for kids coming up.
Yes.
Or if the little kiddies want something more exciting, if you can believe it, it's Jane Austen Week next week at the library.
Oh,
who's
God.
Jane Austen?
Yeah, exactly. That's exciting.
I'm sure the kids will love that. What sort of projects do the Burnside Council approve then?
Well, currently in the works, we have the equestrian jumping park, the helipad, the polo field, the wine bar, the yacht club. Oh, hang on. My nanny Svetlana's calling. I needed to pick up Bentley.
You're driving a Bentley, are you?
No. Bentley's the name of our Pomeranian.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Picking him up from the doggy therapist.
The dog therapist.
Well,
oh, you were joking.
Yeah, I've been terribly anxious since my husband Nathaniel has been back at work.
You took your dog to the therapist?
Yes. Well, he's on more Xanax than me, the cheeky little mutt. Would you believe? Now, where were we? What were we talking about?
Well, we're talking about shutting down the skate park, you and Burnside council mates.
Right, yeah. So I was at the beach house on the weekend.
Oh, let me guess. Robe?
No. We're changing the seasonal furniture and robe.
Oh, right. So not robe. Where are we talking? Port Elliot? Maybe
Noosa?
Maybe Noosa, yeah.
No, you're right. No, we have to extend the wine cellar in Noosa. So it was just one of our three-story little shacks at Port Elliot. Anyway.
Oh, it was Port Elliot. Right, eh? Okay.
We stopped for a bite to eat at the Port Elliot Bakery. Went past the skate park. Mm. Oh, my God. God, the ripped jeans, disheveled hair. You know, as far as the eye could see, not a boat shoe, not a popped collar, not a blazer inside. So I tell you now, there's just no way any teenagers will be popping any backslide heel flips or nose blunt sliders or 50-50 grind.
Yeah, all right, we get
sounds
it.
Sounds like you know a little bit about skateboarding. Thanks, Sandra. We get it. No chance of a skate park in Burnside, okay.
No, there's more chance of the Crows getting their headquarters in North Adelaide.
All right.
The skate park proposal is dead, just like that tree in Burnside Village. Arrivederci, Mr. Ricciuto.
Yes, good morning, Sandra. No. Thanks for joining us from the Burnside Council
What's
Committee.
What's her surname?
Worthington Smythe.
Smythe.
On Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Did you learn something?
What did we learn?
What did we learn?
Yeah, what did you learn over the weekend, over the last few days? Roo, you're up first.
Yeah, well, since Loz has been working on our show, we've learnt of a new expression called boomered, haven't we?
Right, we have.
What?
You've been boomered.
Yep, and Loz has been sort of lecturing us on how hard it is to be a millennial and,
you know,
need a break in life and stop dominating everything in the world, you older people. Well, I got millennialed on the weekend.
Oh, did you?
I got millennialed.
Yeah. Oh, what happened?
There was a house for sale on the street that I live on.
Mm. Yeah.
And a bloody millennial bought it. Paid more than what I wanted. So I got millennial.
How did they have more money than
well,
you?
They were prepared to pay more money. Right. And congratulations to the young couple who did end up buying the house. But I thought, yeah, I'll just let you know about millennials doing a little bit of action out there.
Bit of your
the
own
burbs.
Medicine.
They're Loz.
Okay.
I like
got millennialed.
Loz, what did you learn over the weekend?
I haven't figured it out yet, so why don't you go first?
I'll go first. Have you got anything, Haydos?
Yeah, I read that loud music causes you to drink more in less time, and that's been backed up by a French study where they went into a bar, manipulated the volume of the music to unsuspecting patrons, and 57% of them drank more in less time.
Wow. Yeah, and the other thing is if you're standing up, you drink more than you're sitting down.
You're joking.
No.
So loud music, standing
take all the
up.
Chairs out of your joint.
We do. No worry. That is a very well-known part of the early tradition.
All right, you're one step ahead. Hey, last week, controversially, obviously, since I've now found out that I said the peregrine falcon was the fastest animal on Earth. And you remember I said, you know, people think the cheetah, but the peregrine falcon can fly at 400 k's an hour, right?
Yep. Did you give us a false fact?
No. No, well. Anyway, the Automasters text line went berserk. I've copped it all week.
Really?
Birds aren't animals, Dits.
Oh, that's bull twang.
Then we go, birds, fish and insects aren't animals, Dits. That's what I've been copping all the time. Well, that's what
are
I think,
they?
Bull twang too. Well,
I spoke to an
no.
ornithologist this week. An ornithologist.
What were you getting your eyes done, were you?
Ornithologist is a person who studies birds.
Oh.
And they said, I'm not going to step on your fat.
No, but they're definitely animals, aren't
they're
they?
They're definitely animals.
Yeah, see, I've been told.
Animals.
Yeah, well, not according to the Automasters text line. I've copped it from all directions. But I think they're animals. But
No, you're right. They fall under Animalia, which is the category.
Animalia?
You know, spiders are arachnids and, you know.
But birds are animals.
You're bringing all these new words to my life.
So
Animalia.
Anyway, I'm sticking with
Animalia.
It. Peregrine falcon, 400 k's an hour.
Yeah. I remember what I'd learned.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Beckinsale, the model, actress and comedian-ish, she's very funny, she's fluent in Russian. She learned it at Oxford University.
Really?
Russian is
what
like...
What nationality is Kate?
She's English. She's as English as they come.
That could come in handy.
Ooh. Well, I think she might be a spy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Why do you learn Russian?
No one's just learning Russian for no reason.
Not that we're pigeonholing people. No. Everyone out there that has learned Russian, sorry, you're not all spies.
Well, I would like to hear from anyone in South Australia who has just for fun learnt Russian.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Just for fun. There's
most
no way.
Most people on Triple M can only speak just English.
I do know someone.
Do you?
I do. A lady who reads news at another radio station.
Are we sure
came
she's
up
not
with
a spy?
This fact. No, she came up with this fact one day. She said, I'm fluent in Russian and did that. Just went to uni and thought, what the hell, I'm going to learn Russian.
That's insane.
I know. Ugh.
It's a really difficult, really, really difficult language to learn as well. Mm. So good for her.
Triple M family, turn up your speaker. And let's hope it's working better than the current Speaker in Parliament.
Sorry, one moment. All those that opinion say aye, and this will... Eyes have it. Nose have it.
Speaking of Parliament, please give a very warm welcome to the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison.
Now, you see, Mr. Morrison thought he'd arrive when he was elected Prime Minister. You've arrived when you get your own intro on Triple M.
Exactly.
How big is that?
Right.
Welcome, the Prime Minister. How are you this morning?
Well, g'day. It's great to be back here in Adelaide. It's great to see South Australia opening up again, which is tremendous. I wanted to get here as soon as I possibly could as those borders came up. So it's great to be here and well done, South Australia.
Well, if you could have arrived just a little bit earlier, we launched our Triple M beer last night. Yeah. You could have come and had a beer with us.
I'm never a stranger to that.
Where do you like to have a beer? Where's your best beer? Like, if you can picture yourself, is it at a sporting event? Is it is your favourite holiday place? Where do you get excited about having a beer?
Well, look, all of the above, basically. But the one I got to say that I particularly enjoy is on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. Now, I know I'm in an AFL town, but supporting my local NRL team back in Sydney, on the Eastern Stand in the sun in the afternoon, and there it is. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, nice. Afternoon beers are good.
Beautiful.
Someone have to tell me what NRL is after this.
Hey, while we're on the sport, you jumped around a little bit with a couple of AFL teams last year, Prime Minister, but you're in Adelaide now. Are you
more of an Adelaide Crows sort of man, or you're more of a Port Power prison bars sort of man?
Well, look, I didn't grow up with AFL, so look, I've never really had an AFL team. I mean, Rodney Eade, when he coached in Sydney, we became sort of friends there because our wives worked together. And so when he went back to Melbourne, was with the Bulldogs, I followed him there for a little while. But I always loved going to the games. I've always enjoyed watching AFL, but I never sort of had a team, and I don't now. But Port's got the same colours as my Cronulla Sharks.
Yes, the Sharks. There you go. No.
They've got the same colours, but, you know, that's I suppose that gives a bit of a lean.
I've just signed him up. Number one ticket holder for Port Adelaide, Scott Morrison. I've got him.
You don't know what you've done. Koshy's
a good guy. Koshy's a good guy.
There you go.
Now,
Prime Minister, I'm just wondering, you're in Adelaide for a reason. Whenever you make sort of, you know, flying visits like this, there's always something. Is there a big announcement imminent, or why are you here today?
Well, no, we've actually made a lot of big announcements while we've been locked up back in Canberra and everywhere. And one of the biggest one of those is what many people I know about in South Australia, which is the full cycle docking, which is where, you know, we fully do the run over of the Collins class submarines. And that's been a really important part of jobs here in South Australia. Of course, we're building the frigates here as well, and the Hobart class destroyers. So there's a lot of shipbuilding going on here in South Australia. And of course, I made that announcement some time ago about going ahead with nuclear powered submarines. So, but I'm also here to be with Dr. Rachel Swift. Now, she's my new Liberal candidate here for Boothby in South Australia. She's got a great background. She was actually working on the Ebola response team back in 2014. You know, she's worked in the Boston Consulting Group. She's an incredibly talented woman, and I'm just absolutely stoked that she's decided to come and join our team and run for us in Boothby. And with everything we've been through over the last few years, it's sort of highlighted why it's so important to get a broad range of experience and to have someone like Dr. Rachel Swift putting her hand up. And she joins others we've got on our team who are veterans, and we've got others who are other doctors and those who've worked in small business. That's what my party is all about, drawing people from all walks of life.
Well, that's good. You're talking about all the submarines and the nuclear subs that we're building here. Has that got a bit to do with the front page of the Advertiser today with a big picture of a ship? Red alerts the headline, Chinese spy ship on a three-week mission off the coast of Australia. Does that get your heart rate up a little bit, or you're not fast?
Well, it's not a surprise, but and we obviously knew they were there. They were in it. They were in our economic zone, which they're allowed to be in, just like we're allowed to be up in the South China Sea. But it does, I think, remind everybody that we live in an increasingly tense world, and particularly in our part of it. And that's why, you know, the most important job I have as Prime Minister is to keep Australians safe, and that means that, you know, I and my government, our government, we have to stand up to those who would seek to threaten us and coerce us, and we have done that quite deliberately, and we're not going to change who we are as a people, and we will stand up to those who seek to change who we are and interfere in our country. That's why I've put together the deal with the United States and the United Kingdom, called AUKUS. People, your listeners may be aware of that. That actually keeps us safe. That means we're working on the technology, because if we have the best possible defence, then that's the best way to keep Australians safe, but also to keep our region peaceful.
Just changing tact, we live in a country where we have states and we have state governments. And I must admit, Prime Minister, in my life, I've never understood words like federal or Commonwealth. I don't even know what they really mean, to be honest, when it comes to governing. At which point should you have the power to say, this is how we're handling the pandemic? At the moment, we're so fractured. We've got Mark McGowan doing one thing. We've got Gladys doing what
Dan
she
Andrews.
Wanted. Dan Andrews has come in for a ton of criticism. We've done it differently here, and I think we've been great in South Australia. But at which point, whether it was you or anybody else, should we be able to say, I'm the Prime Minister, this is what our country's policy is, and this is how we're handling it?
Well, that's not how Australia was built. Australia was built, as you said, as a federation. The states existed before the Commonwealth did. And when the Commonwealth was set up, it was set up on the basis that it could do only specific things. And the states retained all of their powers to do everything else, and that included public health. And so what I have to do as Prime Minister is try and get them to work together as much as I possibly can, because when they set Australia up over 100 years ago, they didn't give me those powers to tell the states what they could do on public health.
But we do with certain things, don't we? When you say public health, I mean, you can be picky if we made a decision to go to war or something, you'd make that call.
That's a power that's given to the Commonwealth government. Defence, foreign affairs, trade rules, things like this, corporations, you know, what businesses can do, tax laws, all of that. That's what we can do as a federal government and the social security system, the payment of pensions and welfare. But when it comes to public hospitals and law and order and the police and all of these things, they are the responsibilities of the states. And it's important, you know, that the government get as close to where the people are as possible. The idea that Canberra knows everything about everything, I think, is a nonsense. You want people making decisions, I think, about your schools and your hospitals as close to the ground as possible, right here in South Australia. And Steve Marshall's doing a great job on all that. So I think that's really important. So, you know, Australia is a partnership and we all got to work together. And even though there's been disagreements between the states, here's three things that Australia has done amazingly well. One, we've got one of the lowest fatality rates of COVID in the world.
Yep.
We've had one of the strongest economies. I mean, we've had 350,000 people bounce back into jobs in the last 5 weeks. And we're the strongest economies in the world. And now we have one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. Now, I've got a challenge to all your listeners this morning. Mm. The figures this morning is that South Australia is at 79.5% double dose vaccination. Yep. Okay. Now, yesterday, they went forward by about 0.5%.
Ew.
So we can go ahead 0.5% today. So if you're in South Australia today, double dose vaccinated, and then have a beer later tonight and celebrate us getting to 80% tomorrow.
Now, speaking of vaccinations, Prime Minister, I mean, I am very pro-vax. I am double jab myself, but I do know people who are choosing not to get the vaccine. How much longer will we have to wait before those people will be allowed back into sort of normal society? I personally, again, am double vax, but I do worry about the sort of separation of the two worlds.
Yeah, look, Loz, I think you're right about that. And I mean, I'm double vaxxed. I just had my booster, and I want to encourage everybody to be getting their boosters as well. And I saw a figure today, 80% of people have had their 80% of Australians will want to have boosters. So that's good, and I want to encourage everybody to do that. 6 months since your second dose, please go and get your booster.
Yep.
But we've got to live with the virus. But Loz, you're right. We've got to live together with the virus. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of getting vaccination rates to that level is that we can bring everybody back. Now, our government, the Commonwealth government, we supported vaccine mandates for people who are health workers, aged care workers, disability care workers, because they work with vulnerable people. And that was intended to protect them. We don't have a mandate policy that extends beyond that. Mm-hmm. States are making their own decisions on that for the reasons I said before. But once we get these vaccination rates at these high levels, and that's why we've got to get to 80%, and then keep going, then yes, we should be able to all come together and we should be able to move on. And that's why we've got to keep going. You know, governments have got to step back now, I think, and so Australians can step forward and we can just get on with all living together with this virus.
Living together, having a few Triple M beers. Now, if you're going to have a Triple M beer, what music would you be listening to, Prime Minister, on the way out? You're the only person in 2021 to request a song here on Triple M. What do you want us to play?
Well, I don't know if it would be one all of your listeners would like, but, you know, I am a big Tina Arena fan. I love Tina.
Let's go, Mike.
I love Tina. She's awesome, and she's a great Australian talent, and she's a great Aussie. She
what really stands up for us.
Which one?
Chains is the popular. My favourite one is Unsung Hero.
Unsung Hero.
Because I mean, sometimes I get a bit hopelessly romantic. Not that often, but when I listen to Tina's music, I think about Jen. And she's my unsung hero.
Oh, good on you.
That's
beautiful. Well done. Prime Minister, thank you so much for taking our call this morning and enjoy your day in Adelaide.
Cheers. Enjoy the beers.
Cheers.
Yeah, there he is. Thank you, our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison.